Good morning.
Good morning.
I think it's working better. I was told to keep this up away from my mouth because it's picking up a lot. Okay, hopefully. It's wonderful to see you this morning. If there's anybody here who I haven't met yet, I'm Pastor Catherine. It's my first Sunday here, so I'm thrilled to be here worshiping with you all and looking forward to all of our time together. A few brief announcements. This is the last Sunday in Lent. Next week we begin the Holy Week journey. So on Sunday, next Sunday at 9 o'clock, we'll have our Palm Passion Sunday service. It's a beautiful service where we kind of go through what we read through what Jesus went through that day on the cross. And then on Thursday, so the Thursday after next Sunday, we have Maundy Thursday service at 7 o'clock. Friday, we have Good Friday service. We have Stations of the Cross at 6. And a regular Good Friday service at 7, a tenebrae service. And then on Sunday of Easter Sunday, so that's April 21st, we will have a 7 a.m. sunrise service and a 9 a.m. service as well. So I hope you can join us for this walk through Holy Week that is coming up. We have one last Wednesday service this Wednesday, and then it's time. It's time for Holy Week, the most important week of the church year for us. So I'm glad I'll be here with you. First off, are there any other announcements for the good of the congregation? Yes, the lilies. So if you would like to order lilies for Easter Sunday, there are envelopes on the bulletin board at the back. Go ahead and pick those up. We need them turned in by next Sunday, right, Lydia?
Yes.
Next Sunday. So you got a week. And those will, of course, be beautiful and smell beautiful and really be part of our celebration. Anything else? Yes, you. I was going to have you be last. So we have a word about our quilts, our lovely quilts that are all around the sanctuary.
I would just like to acknowledge the ladies who work on these beautiful quilts and school bags. And we have a model here modeling the school bag for you. The ladies are Alice Werberg, Betty Glendie, Donna Thompson, Jean Steig, Lola Dean, Lydia Eckerd, Marilyn Potter, Sharon Josephy, Susie Fox, Susie Burns, April Steig, and Abby Carr. Also, walk around a little bit. Also, thanks to everyone who donated school supplies for the school bags. We increased our school bag total from 65 last year to 90 this year. And back in 2014, we only did 25, so we're moving right along. At our annual Christmas in July event, we will again be asking for school supplies for next year's bags. Thank you.
Thank you, April.
Thank you. It is a beautiful ministry, and it's wonderful to have them surrounding us at worship today. I invite you to stand as we continue our worship with confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who gathers us into the wilderness to redeem us, anoint us, and make us new.
Amen.
In these 40 days, let us be honest, confess our sin, and receive God's promise of mercy. God at the margins, we have wandered far from your home. Again and again we lose our way. We turn inward, afraid of the world around us. We forget that you have saved your people before and promised to do so again. Do not remember the deeds of our past, but turn our faces toward the future, where your forgiveness is sure, your welcome is clear, and your love overflows. Like a hen who gathers her chicks, God embraces you in tender care. Like manna in the desert, God feeds you with surprising mercy. Like a loving parent, God runs to meet you again this day, forgiving your sins for the sake of Christ, leading you from death into life. Amen.
First reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent comes from the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water to the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will now intone the psalm as it is printed in your bulletin.
When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then we were like those who dream. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses of the Negev.
Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy.
A reading from Philippians chapter 3. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to the zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Please rise for the proclamation of the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Yesterday, Silas and I did something that we absolutely love to do. I have a good friend from college who lives here in town. She lives in Arlington, and I'm thrilled to be in the same town as her again. And almost a year ago, got married, and we love her husband, and so we invited them over, and we cooked dinner for them. And this was really important for me to know before I married Silas, that he and I have the same thoughts about hosting a meal. Those thoughts are to cook way too much food. We had an appetizer, a full meal, dessert. We made ice cream. It was great. And this is just a thing we do. And growing up in my family, we would have people over to my house, and we would always have too much food, an abundance of food. It's far better to have leftovers than not have enough. And I've had several meals with Silas and his family, not just Thanksgiving, which is for everybody a day for too much food, but Memorial Day, a celebration of all the family being in town. And there's always plenty, more than plenty. If there's baked potatoes, there's enough for everybody to have two baked potatoes, if need be. It's important to me and to Silas to make sure that there is plenty. And since this is how I grew up, I thought this is how everybody was. Until I discovered that's not the case. Silas has some pretty extended family members. And I didn't experience this, but I know the story, where one time they were going to serve pork chops to 6 people. And they one person looked at Silas's brother and said, 2 should be enough, right? 2 pork chops for 6 people, right? That's enough. I don't know how that meal went, but 2 pork chops is not enough for 6 people. In my family, whenever we had people over, there was always an abundance. And I didn't realize how important that was to me until I got a little older. I've been thinking about abundance and thinking about this gospel text. Because on the opposite side of abundance is scarcity. And in so many ways, so many of us are tempted to live in a mindset of scarcity. There's only so much out there, so I have to make sure I get what I need. There's only so much food, so I have to make sure I get my share. There's only so much money, so I have to make sure I get what I need. There's only so much love, so I have to make sure I get my part. It is easy for us to live in this world where we think that we always have to look out for ourselves first because there may not be enough. It is easy to live in a world where we think that we have to always be focused on that. And then we'll work on taking care of other people later. Or we'll work on feeding other people or loving other people once we have enough. Judas thought this way. You see it in our gospel text. Judas, he sees this moment of extravagant, abundant love from Mary to Jesus. And he doesn't like it. And he uses words that almost sound okay. Why didn't we take this expensive thing, sell it, and give that money to the poor? Isn't that the right thing to do? But Judas wasn't actually thinking about sharing abundance. He was thinking about himself. He was thinking, that's something I could have had, and now I can't have it. He was thinking, there's only so much money out there. 300 denarii, that was a year's wages for a working class person at the time. That money's just gone now. He can't see the beauty of what's happening between Mary and Jesus. He is stuck in that mindset of scarcity, of not enough, of never enough. For him, for the poor, for whoever, according to Luke, he was mainly thinking about himself. But Jesus shows us once again that that is not the world that God created. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' first sign, his first miracle, is to make an abundance of good wine for a wedding. Later on, Jesus would take just a few small pieces of bread and fish and feed thousands. And then he would do it again with a new group. We believe in our God as creator. God created this world and all that there is. God is a God of making. God is a God of abundance. So when Mary anointed Jesus with this extravagant abundance, he saw it for what it was, a sign of love. Jesus had not long before raised her brother from the dead. Of course she loved him. Mary and Martha at that time both said to Jesus that they knew that he was something special. They knew he was the resurrection and the life. So they loved him. And Mary did the one thing she could. She showed him this extravagant, abundant sign of love, anointing him. maybe not even fully understanding what it was he was about to walk into. I can't quite imagine it, but imagine a pound of perfume. We normally buy it by the ounce. A pound of perfume filling the air, smelling everywhere. Mary's hair washing Jesus' feet. This is a moment of pure, extravagant love. And it is a moment that foretells what Jesus is about to do. When Jesus goes through torture and death because of the sin of this world, when Jesus is dead for 3 days and will rise again to defeat the sin of this world, because God is always making something new. We saw it in our Old Testament reading in Isaiah. There will be water in the desert. There will be places for people to drink. God is creating something new. We see it in Paul's story as he tells his own story. He was a great zealot against the church, and God worked through him and made something new. God didn't just create the world and then say, "All right, that's good, I'm done." God is always creating in us, and through us, God is making good things. There is never just a small sum of love to go around. There is plenty of food, plenty of love, plenty and abundant relationships, and that is who we are as a church. We are people of an abundant, extravagant, loving, creating God. We are the people of a God who makes us new every day, through our baptism, through communion, through our holy relationships with one another. We are a people of a God who forgives our sins over and over again because of God's extravagant, abundant love for us. And we are a people who are so filled with that love that we go out into the world and share it through relationships, through food, through clothes, through quilts. God is an abundant, extravagant, loving God. And God invites us all to be abundant, to be extravagant, as we share that love with one another. Amen.
Thank you.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Fill your people with such gratitude that it spills over into service of those who are poor
Jesus Christ, our host.
Church.